ask you a question. How is your prayer life? Is it nothing more than just a quick prayer for food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Maybe a quick prayer along with the pastor on a Sunday? And if you're feeling sick, you might do a little praying. Well, today we want to help you bolster your prayer life. Learning to Pray in the Trenches is the title of our message today. We're continuing where we left off yesterday, looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. This is a great model for prayer, especially if you find yourself struggling a bit or in the midst of trials or persecution, suffering. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris, shall we? Again, Acts chapter 4, here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Verse 24, "And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Where do they begin? Sovereign Lord. They are immediately filled with fear, and they are coming to the Lord and addressing him as sovereign over all this stuff. Everything that he made, he's sovereign over. In fact, he's the one who made it. Now, why does his sovereignty, his predestination, it comes out here and specifically mentioned, his creation power, why does it matter at this moment? I think this is a real key to prayer, isn't it? Why are you training your children to believe things about the attributes of God? Why are we sending them off to Sunday school? Why does that matter? And why should you adults be in Sunday school? Because the truth should matter to your mind. Look what they're doing. Everything has come upon them that is screaming at them, God has lost control of it all. God is against you. He's not in charge of much. Why would this be going on? How does any of this show that God's sovereign? Isn't it an amazing moment that they're starting here? From an outward perspective, none of this says anything about the sovereignty of God. From an outward perspective, this all says God looks like he's buried in a hole somewhere. It's all discouraging. It's confusing. It's uprooting. Seems to say that God is not much involved with this at all. Maybe I should be a deist. Some people have. This is a really important moment that they were continuing in the doctrine in Acts chapter 2 for a reason. I love this point to think about the importance of the church and what it does. What you put in your mind now about God is a deposit for the future. What you put in your mind about God now, what you're learning about God now, is for the future. This is why Thessalonians warns that those who are going to be deluded by the coming apostasy and caught up in it are those who don't receive a love for the truth today. So notice what's being said here. Sovereign Lord. The whole thing right now is threatening to be undone in the church. The whole movement is threatening to be put out. And notice that they're calling out to the Lord in this way. You have, at this moment, come face to face with the truth of your confession and what you believe, and you have a choice in light of what you're facing. And here's the choice. Here's as simple as it goes. The choice goes like this. Either this whole event is outside of God and escaped him, and he's not regarded me, and that will lead me to no prayer. That's one choice you could make. That's one avenue. Or you could say, this whole thing is in God's sovereignty and is his plan. It's absolutely the sovereignty of God that this thing is showing me, that this thing has happened. The God who made everything, heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, that he actually is in control of this too. This. He's sovereign over this. He planned this. Well, a struggle, isn't it? Because this is in the heart of the test, really hard to accept. And I want you to notice what begins to happen to their prayer. They're framing it with praise in their hearts. This is when what you have intellectually accepted about God and believed about God and what you put in your minds of what we confess in our confessions and what we believe about God and have studied through a long time in the course of our lives is now really put to experience in the test. and taken right to the heart. If he's the creator of all, if he's sovereign, that means everything's ordered by him. And you see, this perspective begins to fill out the content of their prayer. Notice how. Look what comes into their minds. Verse 27, for truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, this is not new, first off, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Wow. They've threatened us with the same death as Jesus. That death was no mistake. We know that. That was not something, Lord, that caught you off guard. No, no, no. You anointed him for that. You set him apart for that. And when those wicked men stood up to condemn him and to crucify him, they did what was in your hand, which you had predestined to come to pass. Wow. See what's happening? They're looking, their minds are ransacking the scriptures. This is why we learn the scriptures. Their minds are ransacking the scriptures, and guess what they're going to? Psalm 2. Right in the middle of their prayer is a quote from the Psalms. Look what it says. We're having all this happen, but your word told us this would happen by the mouth of your servant, who the Holy Spirit said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Here's what I love about this particular psalm is, it's as if, and this is so crucial to prayer, so stay with me here. I believe it's greatly going to encourage and help you this morning, that their minds are being transformed through the scriptures as they are praying. I think we can miss that. Something's happening here. I don't think we give enough credence and enough place to the actual growth. Listen to me. The actual growth that happens in the discipline of prayer. Together. This is theology embraced and learned through the struggle in the avenue of prayer. For they're taking what they know to be true and they're applying it to what they're facing, and their hearts are being strengthened by it. Their hearts, and this was the heart of their growth in the early church. I wonder if we're not growing today because we're not gathering to pray as we should. I wonder. Praying the scriptures in light of what is facing and what we know, and exalting God and his wonderful attributes and talking about his sovereignty and praising him for it. Can you imagine how that would refresh your minds for everything you're facing? This is the Spirit working, by the way, in Acts of what Paul described in Romans chapter 8, that he is interceding with help because they don't know what to pray, and he's giving them Psalm 2. That's what he's doing. Most of the time, we're simply praying, help grandpa, help them, help that, help this. And we've not done this. This is on-site training. This is where growth came. You don't get it in a classroom. In other words, you get it in the classroom, but when you pray, these things become alive in the midst of the hardship. So you're building it in your minds in the classroom, and then the Spirit is taking that through prayer and strengthening you. You get this in the trenches when you're faced with something you can't handle, and it seems to say God has abandoned you. It's here that the Spirit takes the work of Jesus and identifies you with that work. That's what just happened. It is not true. We often say from that one verse in Corinthians that I think is misunderstood. We often run around saying God will never give you more than you can bear. I've said it. It's easy to say. That's not really true. Paul even said we're so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we're despaired of life itself. He said that at one point. I can't handle this. It's way beyond me. He will never give you more than he can bear. Understand that? He's taking it. That's what he's doing. You're not strong enough to bear it. He is. This is why Paul would say, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. We belong to him. He's the Lord of our lives. And whatever the church is facing, whatever it is that we're facing, he's still on the throne. He's still seated. As a matter of fact, Psalm 2 is mentioned because what is he doing with all these people who are hurting them? Laughing at them. Laughing. It's the one time we get a good laughter from God in the scriptures, don't we? We're such slow learners. This is exactly reason the Bible says, not only that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. These things are realized through prayer as the mind has been instructed in the truth. What an encouragement this morning that the Spirit is actually showing his work and his power through prayer. Now what has this done to their understanding? Let's explore that for a minute, then we'll close. What has this done to their understanding? It's directed their request, hasn't it? What would be the easy thing to pray here? Take it away, Lord. Make them stop. That's the first thing we do. And there's a reason Paul's prayer was inspired in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that when he had this thorn in the flesh, when he was given something very bad in his body, the first thing he's begging, take it away, take it away, take it away, three times. And then he stopped. When he realized something through prayer, so many people never get away from that request. And that is the reason they're unable to say and begin the prayer with Sovereign Lord. You see? Sovereign Lord. When you begin to say Sovereign Lord, your entire perspective has changed through the whole thing. And your life and my life, our lives were never ours to begin with. You didn't own your life. Your life was purchased. It was in the Lord's hand for a reason. It is his purpose for a reason. It's his determined purpose. So notice their request. And now, Lord, look on their threats and take them out. No, that's not what he said, did they? Look on their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Boldness. Would you give us boldness? This is not about preserving our lives. This is about your word, Lord. Notice that we're not talking about when the Lord gave them boldness. We'll look at it in a minute that there was tongue speaking. They spoke the word of God clearly. Give us strength to handle this. Give us strength to handle this for one great purpose, that your word would shine forth from us and that we would speak it. Isn't that wonderful? Because what you've seen happen from the beginning of the situation to the end of the situation is the anxiety's been removed. It's gone. It's just been taken. And now next time they get beaten, or they're going on trial again here in chapter 5. They get beaten, they run away rejoicing. What essentially just happened is Philippians chapter 4. I've always loved that passage, and I it's the greatest encouragement because I know that many of you, when you have things that are in front of you, the thing that we say is, how are you telling me not to be anxious? But you listen to the passage itself. You're missing what the passage itself is saying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication. It's the very thing. Sovereign Lord, you made everything. You uphold everything. You're sovereign. With thanksgiving, thank you for all these blessings. Make your requests known to God that are in line with that. And then what's he going to do for you? He's going to change your perspective. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He just changed your whole perspective. The anxiety, the fear is taken. That's what he's promising to do. Not so much change of circumstance, which he might. That's Philippians. I want you to listen to, which is the backdrop to this, Hezekiah's prayer when Sennacherib was coming at him, threatening him, this mighty army, the Syrians, they were coming. And listen to Hezekiah's prayer, which ties with this, which I think is in their minds. O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, You are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand. Whose hand is in control? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know you. See it? O Lord God, that you are God alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your prayer to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. You can study what happened to that guy. In every test of your faith, couldn't you use the structure of this prayer? Couldn't you? Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. This thing that has happened, it's in your hand and in your plan, which you predestined to take place. We remember through this the life of your son. They all plotted the worst things against him. History had never seen such abuse. But they did whatever your hand had planned and predestined. We belong to him. We follow his life. So, Lord, look upon us in this terrible thing that has happened and give us strong faith. Give us boldness that your word would shine in us. Is that not a prayer for you in every circumstance? You know what happens here? God answers. Verse 31, and when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. God answered. He shook the ground under their feet. That was to take away their fears. And remember, the ground of those who are opposing could open any time. He's in control. He has a purpose in this. And his purpose is that his word would go forth. That's his purpose for the church. That nothing anyone says or does can stop that word. That word above all earthly powers. And so to confirm that they were all filled with the Spirit and went out again and spoke the word of God with boldness. Again, there it is again. That's being filled with the Spirit. It's to speak the word of God with boldness. He strengthened them. I encourage you and apply this a few ways this morning. To close the sermon. First, as a church, I believe we need to be more in prayer together. And you with one another together. I think that's so important. We've got to get away from this private thing. I've heard too much from the older generations. We're just private about our faith. There's nothing private about your faith. Nothing. This is part of our growth in the trenches. When life is hard, and we're facing things that we can't handle, the tendency always, because I know it's from me, is to seclude ourselves. I don't want to see anyone today. I can't deal with this. Yeah, you can't deal with it. That's why you need your family. We need to have that kind of relationship here and love for one another, that there's that kind of confidence to be able to talk to each other in these hardships. And I fear we don't have it yet, as we should. No church does. So don't seclude. Don't isolate. Don't be alone. God never made you to be alone. He should have taught you that in marriage as he gave you a companion in the general rule of it. Because when you're alone, you're going to sink into emptiness and a prayerless life. That's the truth. The Lord is encouraging you to realize he most delights to answer us together. He does. That means you're going to have to open up more to people. You're going to have to open up more. You're going to have to trust your brothers and sisters. And you're going to have to be able to give them a lending ear without judging them. Aren't you? You're going to have to give yourselves to grow in the truth. That means we're going to have to be more in classes and put the truth of God in our minds and know the scripture. So when we're growing in these moments together, the Spirit is taking these things, applying these things, and growing us as we together call out. But if you're disconnected from any growth in the Christian life, and refuse to do that, you're going to have a hard time in this. Second, it encourages us to remember when things come upon us that we can't handle, it's God's strength that upholds you. You can't do it. It's the Lord's way of, through this, making you look more like his son and the church to advance the gospel. So the prayer shouldn't always be, Lord, take it away. But maybe it should be more of, use this, Lord. Train me, Lord, to understand your word more and make it an opportunity for prayer. And give me the strength and boldness that I need through this, giving me peace in it, not to hide my life in hardship, but to let your word so shine in me and through me that I might speak your word in the hardship to be a blessing to somebody else. The Christian life is most effectively lived in the trenches. And that there in the trenches, the soil is most cultivated for growth than in that very place where God's people are together, lifting up their voices in prayer, saying, Sovereign Lord, you made all this. You made us. Take the gospel of your son and advance it and make it successful to the ends of the earth. For that's why we're here. That's why you placed us here. Hopefully that gives you this morning some real encouragement to be here. We're doing it twice on Sundays. We're corporately gathered. Maybe we should value more, and I need to take more seriously, congregational prayer. And maybe we should think about having more gatherings of prayer together with each other, that this prayer might be heard and we continue to grow and enjoy what we should. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ has freed you. And he's given you a place in his kingdom that his gospel may continue to go forward. Look at life this way. And I can assure you, as you pray to him together, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, you made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. You've carried us the whole way. Whatever thing that has come upon us that is far beyond us and your church, we realize that it's your strength and your power that can bear this and deal with this. But we also know that you have a perfect plan, predestined, that the message and the gospel of Jesus would go to the ends of the earth. And we're not going to look a lot different than him if we're followers. So when we're tried and when we're tested, may we as a people learn to pray more together. May we value togetherness as a people and take away the rugged individualism that fills our hearts living in an American culture. And let us as a church grow more together, seeing that when hardship and testing and trial comes, that all of this is in your perfect plan. So whatever it is, give us boldness, that we might be filled with your spirit, that the word of God may be proclaimed in this place, from this pulpit, and from our mouths as we speak the wonderful things that you have done for us. Thank you for hearing us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. You'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.